you close the door?
Yes, sir, I did.
I mean, can't you hear that wind outside? It sounds like a riot.
Well, yes, I can. That's why I shut the door, so none of these internet idiots were bum-rushing my door.
Okay, good. Okay, very good, very good. Keep all that Windy City riot out in the city. We don't need the wind interfering with this show.
Yes, with the reception of the show. Absolutely, I agree.
So I'm Elio. He's Ben. This is our post show for Windy City Riot, which took place on April 12th. Now, Ben, before we do that, though, first of all, how's your weekend been after Sunday? You know what? I was looking at the message you sent me on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know we were supposed to record in the afternoon, right?
The reason why I didn't was because it was like 70 degrees at my house, and it was sunny and it was nice, and I was hanging out with dogs, and I just didn't want to sit in my bedroom like a hermit.
Well, so, that's a good reason. So all right, I'm saying, I'm like, you know that we were gonna do this in the afternoon, right?
Oh, for this show or the Sunday show?
For the first Sunday show.
Well, yeah, I understood that. Oh, okay.
Alright, yeah. No, I'm just... Because I was wondering, it was like 2 p.m. I was like, wait a minute, when are we supposed to record?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, if you're ever confused as to where I am, you're always welcome to message me.
Alright, very good. So on that, how was your Monday night? Obviously you didn't see Raw, or did you?
No, I did the entire New Japan.
Yeah, the Windy City Riot.
So, yeah.
Now, Ben, okay, Windy City Riot took place on Friday. However, 2 days later, they were in Taiwan for Wrestling World.
Oh, shit.
And I'm going to read these off to you. I didn't expect you to watch this. I don't expect you to watch it when you cover it. I'm going to read these results, and I want to get your reaction to this, because this was very weird when I was looking at it, okay?
Okay.
So, Wrestling World 2024 from Taiwan at the ZEP New Taipei in New Taipei City. So in the dark match, we had Toyo defeating Axe Wang. Then the first match on the card was a 6-person tag. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Oleg Bolton, and Toriano defeating Caleb Newman, Francesco Akira, and Great Okan.
Okay.
Then we had a match number 2 or 3 on this list. Was a 6-person tag match. Evil, Sho, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru defeating Bushi, Shingo Takagi, and Yoda Tsuji.
Oh, that's rising.
Then we had another tag team match. Satoshi Kojima and Tiger Mask 4 defeating El Desperado and Shoma Kato. Following that, we had Starlight Kid defeating Hanako. Then we had Doki defeating Kosei Fujita.
Okay.
The IWGP World Tag Team Championships were on the line. Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi retaining their titles, defeating Sonata and Yuya Yamura. And for the never open weight 6-man Tag Team Championships, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Oleg Bolton, and Toriano defeated Evil, Sho, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru to become the new champions.
So they had 2 matches.
Yes. And why? Evil's team and Tanahashi's team both had 2 matches.
Why would now, they do that?
Now, listening.
Listening
to that card. What do you think? Tell me not a random show.
Well, yes. One, it is very random. Two, Too many tag matches.
Too many. Come on. This is why I don't make you watch these.
And three, now granted, I'm somewhat new with NJPW, I freely admit that, but I'd like to think I'm semi-familiar with the big names of the company now. And I haven't heard of the vast majority of those names.
Neither have
So,
I. I mean, I don't know who
and then
Toyo or.
the other thing also is, if they're running so many shows pretty much back to back to back, then doesn't that decrease the importance of each show?
I
Much like
mean.
a WWE thing, because if Windy City Riot was supposed to be such a big deal, because they had some big matches on that shit, then what's the point of having this show in Taiwan? I mean, I understand contractual obligations with arenas and stuff like that, but my God.
But they don't stop with this. Like, okay, what day is it today?
It is April 16th. It's actually my brother's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Ben's brother.
Happy birthday, Will. Yes, he turned 39 today.
I was 39 once, a long time ago in a galaxy far away.
Yes, and I'm not even 36 yet. I gotta wait a couple months.
Now, Ben, so I asked you what today is because, so Saturday, April 20th, on Saturday, we begin the Road to Wrestling Dontaku 2024. It runs from April 20th to April the 27th, okay?
Okay.
From there, April 29th, we have Wrestling Satsuma no Kuni. Then the Road to Dontaku continues from April 30th to May the 2nd.
Yeah.
Then May the 3rd is Dontaku. May 3rd and 4th. Then they have an altogether United Japan Pro Wrestling inauguration and earthquake benefit event.
Okay.
May 11th is Resurgence, which let me see if they've still not made the matches for that one.
Well, that's weird. I mean, considering it's so close. But we are covering Resurgence because, based on what you told me, Elio, all of the matches on that card are supposed to be championship matches, right?
Yes, and on that same date, running from May 11th to June the 3rd, it's the Best of the Super Juniors 31.
Good Lord. No wonder we're selective with what NJPW shows we cover. God damn.
And from, okay, this one must be a typo because it says May 17th to April 18th. It's Tamashii. It runs from May 17th to goes May 17th to May 18th.
Okay.
And the Best of the Junior Finals takes place on June the 9th. Then we have the Despy Invitational on June the 10th. And finally, we have New Japan Soul on June the 16th.
God damn.
That runs June 16th to July the 5th. The G1 Climax, okay? G1 Climax, Ben. Now we're covering this, but I don't expect you to watch every single match, just the main card matches, because they're gonna have
Yeah.
a lot of dark matches on there. That one, the G1, runs from July 20th to August 18th.
Okay.
And yeah, that's about it. But geez, what is going on here?
But my God,
That
that's a
is
lot.
insane. And even that guy Rossi, whatever his name is, I can't remember his last name, but apparently there's a new promotion called Marigold Dream.
I've never heard of that, so I can't
It,
comment.
well, it, you know, it's a new start. It's a new promotion starting up, and they're looking to get Kairi Sane and Io Shirai, for like to work, maybe one of their shows, I believe. But so that is the schedule for New Japan. But we're gonna get into Windy City Riot, Ben.
Absolutely.
All right, are you ready for this? This
Yes,
now,
sir.
first of all, what do you think of this card all the in total?
Overall, I thought it was quite good. I didn't watch the pre-show matches.
Okay, so I can tell you that because I watched them. So I'll just say Matt Vandegrift defeated Zane J, and the in tag team match, Alex Windsor and Trish Adora defeated Mina Ishirakawa and Viva Van.
Okay.
All right, so from the first match, we had Ren Narita and Minoru Suzuki, and this was surprising. Ren Narita defeating Minoru Suzuki.
Well, first of all, the majority of the match I really liked, from my exposure to anything House of Torture, is that's a first for me.
Yeah,
So
like I was telling you were saying why they're such a big deal. They're like they're along the same lines as the Bullet Club over in New Japan.
right, and I'm beginning to understand that. So the majority of the match was actually quite good, and I actually like the fact that a younger guy beat Minoru Suzuki because, it really does, put over a younger guy, and I think it's safe to say Suzuki is at that point.
Did hold on, did Renarita use a weapon? I thought I saw him
Yes,
use a knob. Yeah, okay.
he used a push-up bar.
Okay, I thought I saw him hit Suzuki with an object there.
So that part, that part, I get it because it fits the gimmick, and that's what House of Torture does—they cheat to win, and things like that. It's just it's every single time, and it, like, given what we saw Ren Narita do at the end of the night, like, my question is, if you're gonna have him use a push-up bar, whatever he wanted to use, just have him do it to Jon Moxley at the end of the night. Don't use the same spot twice in one night with the same
Yeah.
guy. But surprisingly, the majority of the match I enjoyed. I think the majority of that has to do with Suzuki. Suzuki is starting to fall into the same category as Tomohiro Ishii for me. There's
Oh,
just some.
they had a match in G1 Climax. I think it was 2018 or 2019, but their match was good.
But I mean, those two guys, I just can't help but enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, just it's fun seeing Suzuki get beaten up and that smile on his face. It's
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
what are you
he just doesn't
doing?
give a shit.
So, like, he'll stand there, you punch him in the face, he'll just stand there and smile.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
So next match was the NJPW Strong Women's Championship, Stephanie Vaquer defeating Azumi to retain the championship. I really enjoyed this match. I'm starting to enjoy like the New Japan women's matches.
Yes, if we were doing the traditional high points, low points, this would actually be a high point for me,
Yep.
which I found interesting because I've only seen Stephanie Vaquer like one other time.
Yeah, Battle of the Valley.
Yes. And I had never seen Azumi before. Apparently, she's a stardom talent who had not competed in NJPW in a year.
And see, it's another one. Stardom is a company that not many people know about.
So, but then you wonder why it's in PWI so much if nobody knows about it. You know what I mean? But the one thing that annoyed me, and I have to tell you, overall the commentary did tremendous. The combination of Walker Stewart, Veda Scott,
And Chris
and
Charlton.
they did a phenomenal job overall. But one problem that I had, particularly in this match, was they were putting over the fact that Izumi hadn't been there so much that I kind of knew that she had no chance of winning, which I could have figured out logically anyway, because the Kerr was a triple champion coming in, including the title that she was defending.
And also,
But
the story here was also this was like their like second encounter.
yes. And so I kind of figured that they were gonna have the Kerr win, one, because I think she's just the bigger star and the better known name. But for some reason, that was the one thing that was rubbing me the wrong way. But Izumi showed me something, because I had never seen her before, and when I saw her, I'm like, God, I hope she's not a Riho repeat.
Right.
No disrespect to Riho, but you guys know how I feel about her.
She'll smile. Any move she does in the ring, you're afraid she'll like
I'm
injure
a
herself. She's so
yeah,
small.
like guy. I'm gonna guesstimate that I'm probably 130 pounds, because my CP really increases my metabolism, and no matter how much I eat, I just, I don't gain weight. I'm able to gain muscle now that I've worked out, but like, my weight has always been low, so I'm gonna guesstimate that I'm like 130 max. And but meanwhile, my brother's 200 pounds, and he eats like a bird. I eat like a 300-pound man. But anyway, it's just, I am a large man in comparison to Riho and Izumi. So it's like, oh my God. Every single time. I don't want to see a death in the ring here. Let's
Right.
settle down here a little bit. But to both women's credit, this was fantastic, and this was a pleasant surprise, because I kind of expected this to be a nothing match going in. I kind of and no disrespect intended to Azumi, because I didn't know who she was. But I expected it to be a squash match, because here comes a triple champion versus somebody who hadn't been there in a year, and it was one of my favorite matches on the card. So good on them.
All right, next up we had a four-way match for the NJPW Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships. TMDK, Shane Hayes, and Mikey Nichols defeating the team of Fred Rosser and Tom Lawler and the Guerrillas of Destiny and the West Coast Wrecking Crew. We have new champions.
Okay, so let me preface this by saying, usually I hate these kind of matches because they're so difficult to follow and it's haywire and blah blah blah. But th this was one that I actually enjoyed, because the very first storyline I ever became familiar with, actually the very first match I ever saw in NJPW, was the the West Coast Wrecking Crew versus Team Filthy. That was the first one. So to kind of see where they started versus where they ended, that was kind of cool. And I was kind of leaning toward TMDK to win the match, honestly. Because well, the Gorillas of Destiny, especially Hikuleo, could potentially be going to WWE.
Oh, I thought that was I thought they were talking about that a while back.
No, they're talking about it now.
Oh, okay.
They
Okay.
might have been
Oh,
talking about it a little
I think
while
they were
back,
talking
but they're
about Tamatanga a while back, and then he finally debuted.
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I mean, this was fantastic. And what kills me, folks, for those of you that don't know, Shane Haste has been in WWE before, and
Yes,
he,
Slapjack.
yes.
That was
And
bad.
this poor bastard, because if what I'm seeing from him in NJPW is what he's capable of as a wrestler, which clearly it is. It's not in Abolition, or an Aberration.
Weren't this what they were called in WWE or NXT TMDK?
Oh, I don't know what they were called.
I gotta look that up. I have it in front of me right now. I'm gonna look that up while you continue.
So if this is what he was capable of, then what the fuck was Slapjack, Vince? But
Don't
it's just,
know. Dude, that had to be a Vince idea. Retribution was terrible. Like, stop.
it was one of the worst things ever,
Right?
honestly. But no wonder he went back to New Japan, because I mean, look at the difference. But I love TMDK. Obviously, Zack Sabre Jr. is with them. He wrestled Matt Riddle later in the evening, which we'll get to in a
That's
little
right.
bit.
My Mikey Nichols was a Nick Miller in NXT, and Shane Thorne. That's it. Shane Thorne and Nick Miller. That's what they were. Their names in NXT.
Yeah, so obviously they're making it a little bit better in NJPW, and good for them, because this was a really good match. But obviously the most not obviously, but just to me, the most interesting part was the storytelling and the dissolution finally of Team Filthy, because for the longest time they had a big problem with Fred Rosser, the former Darren Young,
Yep.
and now Lawler, who I knew from the UFC. I know him. I actually know him better as a UFC fighter than I do a professional wrestler.
He's also an MLW.
Exactly. So now he's aligned with Fred Rosser over Team Filthy. So we finally saw the dissolution of them, and this was a fantastic match. And I, like I said, with the talent involved, it's kind of hard to expect anything else. It's just with this kind of a match, it's kind of hard for me to like care going in, because it's so convoluted. But the commentary did a nice job of like keeping me in the loop as to what was going on with each team, and the pacing of the match was actually enough where I could keep up with it. So this one was actually quite
We're not
enjoyable.
taking calls at the moment.
Yeah. Shut up.
All
Stop it. Don't do that.
right, so that's all we have for that one.
Yes.
All right, next match. Shota Umino defeating Jack Perry. Ben, Jack Perry is so fucking immature.
Okay, let me just say, all right. Now, obviously, yesterday we posted our episode where we talked about our reaction to the
Yeah.
CM Punk Jack Perry footage.
I'm saying, like, with his jacket, the jacket he was wearing to the ring.
So obviously, I'm gonna hope that that's gimmick related and that he's really leaning into the heel gimmick. It's kind of hard for me to give a shit about Jack Perry
Yep.
because, he's such an asshole, in my opinion, based on how he handled this. Now, I've heard other people's takes, in all fairness, I'll give them to you here. They're like, well, he didn't initiate, physical contact and stuff, so they're not placing as much blame on Jack Perry as CM Punk. So from that perspective, I get it. But the fact of the matter is, he went into business for himself. He embarrassed the company on national television, and honestly, his actions set off the chain reaction to this whole thing. So to me, is Jack Perry just as much to blame for the shit show that is AEW? Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. He's not so much as to blame as what happened with CM Punk, because CM Punk got fired because he put his hands on Jack Perry. But to a certain degree, Jack Perry, I mean, it could be argued Jack Perry had that coming because he was a piece of shit for doing that after CM Punk nicely said, hey, that's not a good idea, don't do that, that's not safe, after multiple other people told him the same thing. So
Right? Take a lesson from Darby Allin.
I'm not sure how that, like, not a lot of people are mentioning that part, and it seems to me that Jack Perry is c coming off with a lot less blame in this scenario, but maybe it's just me. But, I acknowledge CM Punk's wrongdoing in this, and I'm not minimizing it at all. I said on yesterday's show that you absolutely do not put your hands on anybody in a professional environment. This isn't the UFC or the Jerry Springer show. We don't.
Jerry. Okay, stop that. Stop that.
But so I get it from all angles. But Jack Perry is just a, I don't. He rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the funniest part of the entrance for me, and I can get this done, before we run out of time,
Yeah.
was during the entrance, some fan ch chanted out, 90210 sucks, which
Boo! My brothers and I used to watch it. That was our Tuesday night. Okay, stop it.
but considering the gimmick and the fact that he's Luke Perry's son, that was tremendous.
But still, stop it. That was our Tuesday night. Me and my brothers, and every Tuesday,
Okay,
90210.
my
Damn
God,
it.
he was the generation behind me. I'm sorry, or before me. I'm sorry. I know I crossed the line. I made a boo-boo. I'm sorry.
It sucks. Wait, did you say it sucks too?
What?
Did you? Why were you saying you made a boo-boo when you crossed the line? What?
That I was cheering the fact that they were saying 90210 sucks.
No,
You love that
you're
line, don't you? But in terms of the actual match, it was actually quite good. And one of the things that I was surprised about is the majority of that crowd, if you listen to it, was pro Jack Perry. Which I was very surprised about because the event took place in Chicago,
Right.
which is a very, which, no shit, is a very pro CM Punk thing.
Yeah,
So,
check, but I it didn't look like a Jack Perry was like the same with the crowd though.
Well, I don't, and this I don't blame him for. So this isn't sour grapes on Jack Perry. This is just analytical thing. I don't think he knew what to do.
Okay.
Because I think he was coming out there fully anticipating playing the heel,
Yeah.
and then he got the babyface role in the match.
Oh.
So it was kind of weird.
It was, because I wasn't sure like how to take Shota Umino, because Jack Perry's supposed to be the heel, but it's like Shota Umino was the heel in this match.
So, to wrap this one up, because I don't want to go move by move in any match, and plus we're running low on time, and we talked a lot about this on the show that was recently released, which was a lot of the story coming into this one. If judging just the match without being annoyed with Jack Perry with all this other outside stuff, this is the high point for me, if I'm being
Okay.
objective.
Actually, I have the star ratings here in front of me for the matches. Sorry,
Well, do you
I go.
want to let's get into that after the
Yeah,
break because we're
we'll get
running
into that
low.
after. Just to wrap it up here.
So we're gonna stop right here, but stay tuned because after the break we got the rest of the card for you, and then we have our AEW Dynasty predictions because news break, folks, there's another pay-per-view this weekend. Oh my
Jesus,
God.
grandpa. Okay, yes. Because I will be recording tomorrow night, so I'm gonna have to tell the guys about that as well.
Oh God.
Because we're adding AEW to the lineup here as well. To the pay-per-view points game thing.
Oh, well, you'll have to tell me when we get back what caused that change. So
No, we said
plenty.
that from the beginning, from January. We said we were including AEW.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, very
Yeah.
good. All right, well, we'll be right back, folks.
All right, and we are back. We are going to continue our look at New Japan Windy City Riot. Ben, before we move on, I'm gonna go over the ratings for each match that we've looked at so far.
Okay.
All right, so the dark match, I was seeing in C, so I'm just gonna do that rating myself. And for that one, we had a 3.5 star for
Okay.
the Matt Vandegrift and Zane Jay. Then we had the women's tag team match, Alex Windsor and Trish Adora versus Viva Van and versus Viva Van and Mina Shirakawa. That one got 4 stars.
On a pre-show match, holy
On a pre-show.
f
Now, the main card, Ren Narita and Minoru Suzuki. This one got 3.5 out of 6.
I agree with that.
All right, then the New Japan Strong women's title match, Stephanie Vickery and Izumi. That one got a 4.5 out of 6.
Okay, that's pretty decent.
The four-way match for the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship got a 3.9 out of 6.
That was a little low, but okay.
Well, they rounded out to 4 because the stars show 4 stars, so they rounded out. They say 3.9, but they round it.
All right. Well, that
All
seems
right.
more fair.
Shota Umino and Jack Perry. Ben, how many stars would you give this?
I'd say 3 star.
5 out of 6.
Well, I mean, look, I wouldn't go that high, but like I said, I would give it a high point of the evening. I did think it was a good match. I didn't think it was that good though.
Okay, so we're done with that match, yes?
Yeah.
All
Yeah.
right, moving on to the next match. We had Mustafa Ali defeating Hiromu Takahashi. Ben, you were messaging me during this match.
Yes, well, I'm not familiar with Daryl, so I was thrown off with Daryl, who is Hiromu Takahashi's stuffed cat.
I told you.
And then you're like, wait for the end, and we're all like, oh my God, Mustafa Ali is shaking hands with the cat.
I told you, wait till the end.
And since he's running with a politician like gimmick, I was expecting a photo op with Daryl and Mustafa Ali. But I've always been a fan of Mustafa Ali, and the fact that he's going all around the world and having matches that we know he's capable of having without the WWE handcuffs. That's something that's cool to me. Now, do I think Hiroki Takahashi is past his prime? Yes,
Well,
I do.
what do you know about Hiromu Takahashi? Have you what do you know about it? Now I'm asking what you know about him.
Well, I just know that he's an older talent, and from what I've seen like online and stuff, he seemed like much quicker in his younger years. Like more crisp.
I told you he carries a cat to the ring. Didn't I tell you he carries a cat? I just
and
hadn't seen
all
him in a
but
long time.
also, like the gimmick and the gear and all that, like I don't get it.
No, neither do I. It was
Like that,
weird.
and that's the majority of my problem.
Ben, speaking of Mustafa, now you know I get the new Pro Wrestling Illustrated a few months before the new issue comes out, right?
Correct.
And I do have the new issue for June 2024. Okay?
Ooh.
And this is who's on the cover.
Ah, very, very fitting. Mustafa Ali.
Right? When I saw it, I'm like, oh wow. PWI is treating him better than WWE did.
Yes, and then he did. There were two spots in this match that kind of scared me a little bit. One was when he did, Ali did his dive to the outside, but hit his head on like the outside. And then the second one, he hit head first into the middle turnbuckle, and he came up all bloody. And it actually left a big red spot on the turnbuckle. And then there was actually another spot where, luckily he was able to see that Takahashi was gonna move, so he was able to backflip off the top rope and like land on his feet. But like that looks pretty dangerous too. So there were a couple moments in there where I'm like, but mostly it was the comedy threw me off. But if I'm being honest, the match itself was okay. But I wasn't invested in it. If that makes sense.
And when you give it.
I'll give it I'll give it a 3.5.
This one got a 3.9 out of 6.
So pretty close.
All right.
Okay. God damn. All right. Do we
What?
have to do this again?
What?
The next match, folks. Now, I know. Some people are gonna get upset with me because, Eddie Kingston has a cult following and, United Empire ran there to a certain degree. But here's the thing. I don't care about this match at all.
No, I just, you know what? I didn't like this match at all. At all.
The only thing that is believable is the heat between Eddie Kingston and Gabe Kidd, which I appreciate. I mean, I didn't need Eddie Kingston yelling "pussy,"
What the
and there,
fuck? What the hell?
I don't think that's necessary. And you guys know me, I curse like a sailor on this thing, but. You don't know if there's kids in the audience or whatever. I'm pretty sure I saw kids in the audience.
Oh my God!
And
Like,
you're out.
and we have one match set for Resurgence.
Yes, which is I forget what they're calling it, but it's a ring with no ropes, and it's a
Yeah.
like Gabe
Have you ever
Kidd
seen one of those
versus.
matches? Well, I mean, obviously in NXT when they did the Stupid Underground and on Raw the Raw Underground. But I mean, have you ever seen outside, like in any other wrestling?
No.
They used to do that in ML. They did that in MLW. One of Tom Lawler's guys had a match against Davey Boy Smith Jr. with no ropes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But the rest of this just didn't make any sense from a variety of levels, okay? First of all, why would Eddie Kingston team up with TJP and Jeff Cobb?
Right?
Homicide makes sense because they have history.
Yeah.
Okay? I get that. All right, but TJP and Jeff Cobb, what? Kenta was a pleasant surprise for the War Dogs team, but even that didn't make sense.
Well, no, Kenta does make sense because he was in Bullet Club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kenta's in Bullet Club.
Well, I knew that part, but with this iteration, I just
Right, I
no.
understand, I
Okay.
understand. But like actually on one show I watched, Kenta made his return to New Japan and attacked Katsuyori Shibata in one of his matches.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the jawing at the end was a little too much for me. It's like Eddie gets off on the ability to say fuck. And
I know,
like,
right?
fuck is my favorite word on this podcast. Like, so I admit that that sounds weird coming from me,
Even more
but
when I
it's
use
like,
it. I
what?
it's your favorite word even more when I say
Yes,
it.
because you're the gentlemanly one, and it's just, plus, with your slight accent, it's funny to me. I don't know. I'm just waiting for you to use that word in a Lord Alfred Hayes accent, and then my
Oh,
world will be
fuck.
complete.
I'm Lord Alfred Hayes here. Oh, fuck. What haven't you seen?
Oh my God, I'm so happy right now. You have no idea. That just made my neck. But it's just like Eddie Kingston does that shit for the sake of doing it. It's just I don't know. But having said that, there is a significant beef between Gabe Kidd and Eddie Kingston. Like, I get
I
that.
have a question. What do you think, Gabe Kidd?
I haven't seen enough of him to render a fair opinion, to tell you the truth.
and see Claude Connor. So that was Eddie Thorpe was in with all those guys. Carl Fredericks, he was in there with all those guys, Clark Connors, etc.
Yeah.
All right,
Yeah.
so this match, what do you got for this one?
I'm gonna give it a 2. I know that's low, but I just didn't care.
This one got a 3.4.
Wow, that's high considering what I thought it was.
All right, next match is the World Television Championship, Zack Sabre Jr. defeating Matt Riddle.
Okay. If this was a regular episode, the title of the episode would have been Curse of Three, because this was the first of two matches where this was the champion's third defense, and they both lost the championships. The first one being Matt Riddle, and the second one being in the main event, which we'll cover in a little bit. Okay. Now, and that was Tetsuya Naito. Okay. Now, first things first, TV title matches have a 15-minute time limit.
Yeah, and this one says 13:15. What?
Was it a good match? Yes, because I love Zack Sabre Jr. And regardless of what you think about Matt Riddle and his outside the ring issues, he is a really good technical wrestler, in my opinion.
This man needs to wear boots. He's gonna hurt himself one day in these matches.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stop. Well, why do you think Miro or Rusev, whatever, started wearing boots?
And I think aside from that, I mean, Zach just wasn't using the boots to hurt his feet the way he was physically manipulating his feet. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't actually hurting him, but he made it look like he was. And then it got kind of awkward because I actually heard child support chants in the
Oh,
crowd.
gee. Really?
Aimed at Riddle.
And see, I keep forgetting this was in the US, because in Japan you barely hear the crowd. They'd just be sitting there
Yeah, I was
like
thrown
sitting
off by
there
that
watching
too.
it in like awe or whatever, and just like enjoying the show.
And I'm not used to that because obviously, I'm a US guy.
Yeah.
But
Well, I mean, we do that up here as well. We're loud. We don't sit there, just start watching.
I had to recalibrate myself because I had gotten used to the Japan style, and so when the
Yeah.
crowd started making noise, I had to remind myself of where we were.
Yeah, so did I. I'm just like, wait, we're in
So
Chicago.
one thing that really surprised me was Zack Sabre Jr. kind of dominated this thing. He really did outside of a few spurts by Riddle. And this one is really hard to go over in detail because it was like really back and forth, like very mat based, very focused on holds and counters to pins, and every Zack Sabre Jr. match, including this one, I have enjoyed.
You know what I want to see? I want to see Tyler Bate versus Zack Sabre Jr. or Zack Sabre Jr. versus Pete Dunne.
Exactly. That would be awesome. And I was honestly surprised that Matt Riddle lost because, as I said before we started reviewing this, it was only his third title defense. So that tells me that maybe he didn't sign a long-term deal with the company.
Prior to this, he was in MLW. He was at in the main event of the Kings of the Coliseum pay-per-view. It was Matt Riddle versus Jacob Fatu.
Oh, God, that sounds like a great match.
Yeah. I think I made a post for that, and if I find it, I'll show you what the match was.
Cool. So because this is a style of match that I really like, this would actually be a high point for me because I love, technical wrestling, especially when it's two of the best. That's why I'm so looking forward to Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay at Dynasty. So yeah, this was one that would get a high point for me.
Okay, oh, so hold on now.
What did
What
you
do you
think?
No, I thought this was a great match. What do you got for this one?
I would give this one a 5 out of 6.
Five, wow, okay. And I say wow because, well, okay, this one got a 4.2 out of 6, so.
Okay, well, not too much lower.
All right, the next match, it was Nick Namath
What a weird fucking
and
match.
Tomohiro Ishii. It was very weird. What?
First of all, it was so random because it was nothing on the line. Not to say it wasn't a great match because these two
Well, what was
are.
supposed to be on the line? I don't think either of them are champions, are they?
No.
Okay.
Well, actually, I think Nick Nemeth is.
Sorry, Ben, are you looking at me right now? All
Yeah.
right, this is the one. This was our Kings of the Coliseum on Saturday, January 6, 2024. Matt Riddle and Jacob Fatu.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Definitely. I should look at more Jacob Fatu matches before he comes to WWE. But this was I really didn't know what to expect from this, given that their styles are so different. And I went in there kind of dubious because I've always, the one New Japan guy that I've been a fan of since the first time I laid eyes on him was Tomohiro Ishii.
Right, it's like I just love these big guys that like get beaten up and they just stand there. You punch them, and you just stand there. They smile. I'm like, what?
You know, and there was a sequence where, Tomohiro Ishii and Nick Nemeth hit each other with their finishers, and they kicked out at one, and each one of them's like, holy fuck, kind of thing. So I hate going, move by move, but I will, there were a couple sequences in here that were excellent. One of them was the one I just mentioned. There was one moment where Tomohiro Ishii hit a danger zone, aka the zigzag, on Nick Nemeth. That was hilarious. I actually laughed out loud for that one. Just wasn't expecting that. So yeah, objectively, like, this would have been a high point for me. I just wasn't expecting this matchup because stylistically it doesn't seem like they match up, but this was a match that actually worked quite well.
So a high point, you say? What do you
Yeah.
got for this one?
I would give it a 4.1 out of 6.
This one got a 3.1 out of 6.
That's surprising.
All right, that brings us to our main event, the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Jon Moxley defeating Tetsu Naito to become the new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, and AEW has given him time to compete over in New Japan.
Okay, so I'm glad you mentioned that last part because I was confused
Well,
when
so
it
was I.
was.
That's why when I read that, like AEW is giving him time, giving him time to compete in New Japan. So I'm like, okay. I was like, because that was rather weird, like
Because
to for him to win.
even the commentators were like, if he wins, how often is he going to be around?
Yeah.
And I appreciated that because I was wondering the same thing.
Damn, Naito lost. Oh, I'm upset. I liked it tonight. I told you already know this guy's my favorite,
Yes.
like when I first saw him in 2018.
Absolutely. And but I acknowledge this was a great match. These guys are great at what they do. Okay? But instantly I have a pet peeve. Just
Ben,
like
what
I
the
did.
fuck? What the fuck?
Just like I do in these Eddie Kingston matches. Oh, and by the way, the chop battle happened in the Eddie Kingston match.
Oh,
I hate it
jeez.
when that happens. The
Stop it.
same kind of thing happened in the Jon Moxley match. My pet peeve with Jon Moxley is, yes, he bleeds excessively to the point where it's not necessary.
Yep.
Okay, but the thing is, you can see him bleeding
You
as clear
messaged me at this
as
part.
fucking day.
You messaged me at this part.
And I think he tried to do it twice, and it maybe was successful on the second one, or what, or maybe both of them, and maybe the second one just busted him open more. But like the first one, you could see him stick his head under the ring, like
Now,
under.
wait. When you were watching this, and you were messaging me, I wasn't sure what you were talking about because I still hadn't seen this one. But then I watched it today, like earlier today when I woke up.
Yes.
And I was on, like, what, does this guy wait for the camera to be on him? Because you can tell, like, the camera was right there, and like he was like looking at the camera, and then I'm like.
And you can see the arm, go up, and the hand go across.
And then like he's pulling himself up by the guardrail. What are you doing?
And it's just so stupid. I'm like, and the thing is, I'm like, Max, you're supposed to be a pro,
You're
don't
right.
you know to keep yourself away from the camera when you're blading? Now,
Like,
granted, I'm very good.
I swear, I think he waits for the camera to be right there to just so you can do that.
And I swear to God, I think I saw him do it twice, because even though I didn't physically see it, I can almost guarantee you he did it when he stuck his head under the ring. And he did it when the camera was right on him, and he put his hand up, and
Can
you
you
saw that
stop?
hand go across. And it's just
God.
like, what the fuck is going on
Like,
here?
I'll tell you this. Okay, I'm gonna go back to the Randy Savage Tito Santana match from 1986, the Boston Gardens. Okay,
Okay.
or just like a regular match. Like, I'm not even gonna not even that specific match, cause I'm not gonna say that it for sure happened in that match. But I'm just as an example, when Randy Savage is in the match, okay, and he's supposed to bleed. Right,
Yeah.
he'll get sent to the outside, right, and like he'll like hit the post or hit the rail or whatever, and I'll look at me, okay, you know how they have the tape on their wrists, like that white tape,
Yeah.
and then like he'll hit us on the rail or whatever, and then he'll put that, and he'll like rub, but you can't see the blade. Some blade is in there. But
Yeah.
like it's enough so that he can bleed. But like you don't see it.
Exactly, and it's just ridiculous. It really is when it's that obvious.
Jeez,
Now, granted, I'll admit to you that I'm very good at spotting it, because I've been alerted to when it's gonna happen when I'm watching shows with my friends, or someone will give me a heads up when I'm over at the Elite show, because my friends are, the head honchos over there. Someone's gonna bleed over here. Watch this shit. So I can kind of see when they do it. But it's not supposed to be obvious. So
I know.
So I don't want it to take away from the match, because I don't want to say it's a bad match, because it's not. Absolutely not. But
No, the only bad thing was the Naito lost, damn
yeah,
it.
and the fact of the matter is, it's like I really wasn't expecting that, because he really hasn't had the title that long, because much like Matt Riddle, this was only his third title defense. So I'm like, okay, well, at least they're not doing the WWE thing where everybody's gotta have the title for 300, 65 days a year now. But overall, this was a very good match, and then so he gets on the mic after the match, and he says, I'm the big dog. I call my shots now. The first guy that gets a shot is gonna be Shota.
And
Well,
who came out?
that didn't happen because Ren Narita comes out.
How does Ren Narita get a title match?
I don't know, but Jon Moxley said when Shota came out to make the save after he got hit with the weight bar, or with the push-up bar. It was actually kind of funny because Mox drags the mic over to him, because he's got the wire, so he's dragging the mic over, and he picks it up, and he goes, "Thanks, man." Talking to Shota, thanking him for the save, and he goes, hey, Narita,
You just graduated. Go on,
you just graduated from young boy to a dead man." So
go
that was good. So I'm not sure how the
Oh.
match is gonna be, I'm looking forward to it
There we
based
go.
on
We
that sell.
have our next match for Resurgence.
Absolutely. So, and the thing that I like about Resurgence, and the reason why I wanted to cover it, is when you told me that all the matches are championship matches, I'm like, okay, so that means it has prestige, because a lot of these pay-per-views across all companies, they just don't. I don't
What
care what you
about?
say.
But you already heard the whole schedule for New Japan. It's like some of these are like, why? What?
Well, yeah, but my point is, Resurgence isn't
Yeah,
one
no,
of
I
them.
no, yeah, no, that one, yeah, okay. But I'm saying like the other ones, like I don't understand why.
Yeah, I don't either, bro. I
So
couldn't tell you.
that is Windy City, right? And now, Ben, we are going to get into our predictions for AEW Dynasty.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Get started, bro.
Yeah.
Freaking look at that poster! Come on, look at that shit! Look at that shit! Look at that shit! Look at that shit! That.
I've never been so happy when somebody gets mad in all my life.
AEW Dynasty. We'll be at the Shai Fitz Arena in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
And let me pull up the matches here. All right. Okay, we'll go top to bottom here, the way I have it on my screen.
Okay.
So first match, Will Ospreay, Brian Danielson.
I got Will Ospreay.
I'm going with Ospreay as well. Okay, next we have the Young Bucks versus FTR In a tournament final ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championships.
Unfortunately, I got the Young Bucks.
I'm sorry, I have to go with them as well, even though I hate that idea.
I know, I do too.
Okay, so we have a House Rules match for the AEW TBS Championship. Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale. I've got Julia Hart.
I got Julia Hart too.
Then we have a trios match, the most random team ever. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus House of Black.
It better be fucking House of Black.
Yeah, I'm glad we got House of Black as well. Then for the AEW Women's World Championship, Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. Ben?
I got Toni Storm.
Yeah, I'm going with Toni Storm as well. Then we have for the AEW Continental Championship, Kazuchika Okada versus Pac. I'm going to have to go with Okada.
Yep, gotta go with Okada, but that is a badass match.
Then the AEW International Championship, Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. I'm going with Strong.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Strong as well.
And the AEW World Championship, Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland.
I got Swerve.
I'm going with Swerve. Otherwise, if you don't give it to him, I don't know what you've been doing up to now with this build and all this focus you've been putting on him.
Yeah, it's
All
his
right.
time.
All right. That is AEW Dynasty. So, Ben, that's it. We got it in under the wire here. 2 minutes to go.
Absolutely,
So, say bring the show to a close.
I love it. I love a nice tight show. Where we get in, we talk about good shit. There's no drama. And we get out and we have a good rest of the night because we just released an episode yesterday and we gave you a good one today. So, I'm excited. It was a really productive episode, I think. And Elio, you did fantastic job with the accents. I don't even have to wrap it up. Why don't you treat the fans to another Ward Alfred Hayes outro, and we'll wrap it up that way.
Well, until next time, enjoy the bloody pay-per-view on Saturday and fuck off for the night.
Diamonds are forever. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that.